Welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we're here with a chronic pain patient and chronic pain patient advocate known on social media as Mr. Joe Love. He's here today to advocate for his story and talk about how he got into chronic pain advocacy as a patient. And with that, I'd like to welcome Joe Love here. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me, Dr. Joshi.
I appreciate it. So tell us your story. When did you first become a chronic pain patient, and how long ago did that start?
So the biggest point at which I decided to fully advocate for people, I've been in chronic pain since I was 8, but never even really thought about it. But Lisa, you know, she was my soulmate, you know, best friend, love of my life. And unfortunately, she passed away almost 10 months ago. But in 2017, Lisa had experienced catastrophic spinal fusion hardware failure. And her doctor, rather than listening to us, sat on a referral to get the hardware repaired for 18 months. Now, during this 18 months, we had brought up several other issues that were involved with it that directly contributed to Lisa's condition to being significantly much worse than what it was supposed to be. So, you know, we had to go from 2018 to December, from early 2017 to December 6th, 2019, to get the hardware repair done. And then that's when we discovered how much her primary care had missed everything on top of the referral. So when they had put Lisa on her stomach, and we didn't know it at the time, to do the spinal fusion hardware repair, they discovered that she had had a dura tear that was ongoing for God knows how long. And so, you know, they repaired that at the same time. Well, when Lisa came out of the surgery, she was unable to use the bathroom, unable to void at all, which caused her bladder to distend. Well, originally they thought that it was possibly, you know, just pressure from the dura tear being, repaired. So 3 days after the first surgery, which was a 14-hour surgery, they put her back under, went in, widened the area around the dura tear, got her back out. She still couldn't use the restroom, so they started running CAT scans. Now, keep in mind, with this dura tear, we had been complaining to her doctor for a year that she had a liquid-filled pocket on her back. And her doctor just constantly, oh, it's just scar tissue from your old surgeries. So, you know, at that time, we just took it like gospel, like any other person with their doctors. So they went back in and they did the dura tear area around it, widened it, and then she still couldn't use the restroom. So they ran another CAT scan, and they discovered Lisa had a 7.8-inch mass, a volleyball-sized mass, on her ovaries that God knows, I have no idea how it was missed, because she had to go through 3 different CAT scans to be cleared for surgery. So don't ask me, I can't fathom how they missed a volleyball sized mass, you know. And what had happened is when they had originally put Lisa on her stomach to do the spinal hardware repair, that mass had shifted and crushed her sacral nerve, taking away all feeling from the waist down for Lisa, took away her ability to void on her own, everything. And that's the very next month in January is when Lisa was diagnosed with adhesive arachnoiditis. And me being me, of course, I find out what her, we find out what her diagnosis is. And I'm also a high functioning autistic. So I found out what she had, went in and just dove right in, learned everything I possibly could about it, you know, way more than most doctors. But we tried to get to her doctors to, you know, properly take care of her and stuff like that over the years. But Lisa, and I know you're familiar with AA, Lisa ended up having like several decades of progression in 3.5 years. Because the doctors wouldn't listen to her, wouldn't follow the proper protocols, kept shuffling around from one neurologist to another that had absolutely no clue what they were doing, instead of getting her to somewhere that she would needed to be. So, and throughout all of this, you know, obviously Lisa's pain kept getting progressively worse and worse and worse and worse. you know, and it would break my heart because I knew that the ability to at least give her comfort, you know, for, you know, however long her disease lasted, she survived her disease. I knew that they had the ability, but yet she was consistently denied. She was constantly gaslighted by her doctors, constantly ignored, and constantly told, oh, well, we can't do anything more because of A, B, and C laws, you know, watching out for us. And I get that to an extent because you and I both know that the legislations right now governing chronic pain patients is most definitely not in the patient's best interest, you know. So so for 3.5 years, I watched Lisa waste away in excruciating agony, you know, and it broke my heart because there wasn't much I could do for her. Eventually, I was able to find a kratom, which I still personally use, and I don't use doctors for any of my pain management or any of my conditions at all, for that matter. My PTSD from the medical aspect is just through the roof. I don't trust any doctor hardly anymore. You know, so in doing that, I was at least able to give her at least some modicum of relief, you know, and it broke my heart. And Lisa had, my best guess would be about 3.5 decades of progression with her adhesive arachnoiditis in 3.5 years. And the last 6 months was just absolutely horrible. Despite Lisa having an intrathecal pain pump, they still would never dial her up to the point where she would at least have some relief and have some sense of normalcy. So, and when Lisa got diagnosed and I started experiencing this going on, I decided that I was going to advocate for her. Little did I know at the time this was going to blow up into me advocating for so many other people, you know, and I'm blessed for it, but, yeah, it's just, you know, to see so many people that suffer not just from Lisa's disease, but numerous others, it broke my heart. And I made a decision, when I lost Lisa, that I was going to do everything I could to make sure that nobody suffered the agony that she was forced into her and go through. And it was the pain, yeah, more than anything else, that broke her. You know, the pain broke her spirit. If they would have given her even, you know, anywhere near proper pain management and relief, she probably would have stayed around a lot longer. But, you know, I mean, 3.5 years of just excruciating agony just took its toll. So July 23rd of 2022, Lisa, unfortunately, because of her immune system being hit from the adhesive arachnoiditis also, alongside the agonizing pain that she went through, I lost Lisa to an unknown infection that was medicine resistant that just ran rampant in her body, just overtook everything in 24 hours. And that's when I decided I was going to do something. I have 3 progressive neurological conditions myself. I suffer from aggressive MS, early onset Parkinson's, and myasthenia gravis. So I definitely hit the jackpot on that, you know, but I figured, you know, no matter how long I have left, you know, which according to the doctors now, I was only supposed to make it about a year after my diagnosis with the MS, as aggressive as it was, I'm going on year 4. And I truly attribute that to the fact that I took the doctors out of the equation, because I knew how it was going to go, you know, with all the gaslighting and, you know, the ignoring of everything going on. And the thing is had Lisa's primary care doctor listened to us at any point in time in the 18 months before she had this final hardware repair done, Lisa would not have been anywhere near as bad as she was. And the sad thing about
talk
it
to
was,
us about the times when they weren't listening. Joe, I think this is important, Joe.
Okay.
Talk about the instances where the primary care was not listening.
All right. So I can give you
what that experience was like and what happened.
Perfect reasons. So what happened? So let's start with the DuraCare first. So we had mentioned to her doctor numerous times about a liquid filled bump on her back. And I mean, this thing was probably a good inch and a half in diameter. And I could obviously tell it was liquid filled, but every time we would bring it up to her doctor over the period of the 18 months that we were there, instead of just, you know, getting a needle, doing a little sample and seeing what it was, kept telling her that it was just scar tissue from her prior spinal fusion surgeries. So that was ongoing for God knows how long without it being addressed, which, you know, as well as I do, is going to cause its own significant issues on top of everything else. And then the mass, we had expressed to her doctor since the hardware break. So for 18 months, we had consistently talked to her doctor about how her stomach was pushing out. And the only thing her doctor ever said was, oh, that's just your scoliosis because of the broken hardware pushing your organs out. So, you know, and of course, at that time, you know, we're both pretty naive about everything. So we're like, okay, you know, that's what it is. You know, and it was things like that ongoing. And then even after the situation happened, we kept trying to explain to them the neurological damage, everything that's going on, what Lisa was going through and stuff. And this was like with, I don't know, I want to say probably 8, 9, 10 different neurologists in our area. Mm-hmm. And everybody just disregarded it, you know, that, you know, instead of trying to find her help or getting her to people that could help her and put her on the proper protocols, her doctors be like, oh, okay, well, we're going to send you to such and such neurologist to have this looked at and see what they can do. And it was just an ongoing thing. Another prime example of Lisa being gaslighted and ignored, January 2019, right after the spinal fusion repair surgery, her doctor told us to go up to the hospital to get a catheter put into her. So, and I've had numerous catheters myself. So we went up there, they got it. The next morning we woke up and there was a significant amount of blood in the catheter, you know, in the back of the catheter. So I take her back up to the hospital and they just dismissed it. They're like, oh, it's nothing, you know, catheters bleed all the time. And I get that, but not to the point where everything's like bright red. You know, that's just beyond what it should be. A week and a half later, Lisa went into septic shock and passed out. I very nearly lost her then. I had gotten just this gut feeling at work, and I just told my boss, was like, I got to go home. And thank God I did, because I walked in the door just as she was starting to pull herself back up from collapsing. Wow. And passing out from septic shock. So, you know, and it's just, you know, I mean, there's so many things that just happen ongoing that, you know, I mean, yeah. It would take me days to describe it going on. You know, Lisa had a massive prolapse from her bladder becoming distended. The doctor sat around on that for 6 months before they finally got her to a neurogynecologist, you know, and it's just, you know, thank God, you know, she had me. Otherwise, she probably wouldn't have lasted as long as she did.
Yeah. Tough. And so tell me what you're doing in terms of your advocacy to raise awareness for patients who are going through similar situations.
So what I'm doing right now is I am actually on a motorized bicycle right now that I'm using to travel cross country for I think I mapped it out. It's a total of 3,500 miles cross country on this bike, collecting pain patient stories, putting out a petition that I have listed on change.org. And a website dedicated to it, YouTube channels for those who are able enough to be able to do video stories for their chronic pain. And it's just, you know, it's time for people to understand what we're going through instead of just believing the lies that they're being told on everything. You know, almost 100 million people suffer from conditions that cause chronic pain. And to just for even any one or two of them to go without proper relief is just, it's beyond wrong. I mean, it's completely inhumane, you know.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And so tell a little bit about the stories you're hearing and the progress you're making with the petition.
So a lot of people, thankfully, over the last few several weeks, a month or so, things with the petition have started really picking up. But I attribute that a lot to being able to join alongside the APDF and interacting with the people that they help advocate for. So a lot of it is, a lot of the stories I'm getting are really similar to Lisa. Doctors that have just ignored their conditions, or even before they were diagnosed, doctors ignoring them, talking about their symptoms, things going on up until they were diagnosed, and then so further on, people that are denied even, you know, a slight modicum of pain management care, people being forced onto drugs that are absolutely not made or it was ever intended to be for chronic pain, drugs like gabapentin, Suboxone, things like that, you know, that were made for completely different things that really, I mean, and it's even been recently proven that Suboxone is not made for chronic pain patients that do not have a use disorder, you know, so it's things like that. It's just people being ignored. And I'm a firm believer that all of our conditions that everybody claims that is so rare, we would find out that they're not quite as rare as it is if doctors would actually listen to their patients and make it a point to start working towards early diagnosis. A lot of these problems would have been easily fixed, and these people wouldn't be anywhere near the amount of pain they are had they received proper and early diagnosis in the first place, instead of being, you know, ignored or just kind of put off by their doctors. And it's just, it's ridiculous that somebody has to fight so hard just to get their doctors to listen to them, if they're lucky enough for them to listen to them.
Yeah, seriously. So what is next then? What's next for Joe in terms of advocacy and continuing the conversation?
So what's going on right now? I'm only about maybe 800 miles into this. I've got quite a bit further to go. I've got about 60 more miles until I start turning west. But when all of this is done and over with, I wholeheartedly plan on, for however long I have left because of my own conditions, I wholeheartedly plan on becoming whatever state I decide to stay in, getting actively involved in that state with the amount of people, you know, of the chronic pain patients in that area, and stepping up and advocating for them like I did for Lisa. The only reason Lisa got any of the care that she got after the whole nightmarish situation with her surgery was the fact that I was there and I was knowledgeable and I was able to stand up and advocate for her. And I want to be able to do that for as many people as possible.
No, I appreciate that. We definitely need people like you in the fight. That is for sure. Joe, with the remaining time that we have, is there anything else you'd like to share or anything else you'd like to provide in terms of advice?
I just want to tell anyone who's listening, you know, whatsoever about this, if you're having any problems, you know, getting your doctors to listen to you, getting your doctors to take you seriously, or having your doctors ignore the level of pain that you're on and stuff like that, I desperately suggest that, you know, you find out where your local medical advocacy group is and reach out to them and get, you know, get these people to fight for you, because, you know, you have a voice, you have serious things going on with you, and we all want people to be heard about these conditions so they don't get worse. We don't lose, you know, even more human beings to being ignored like this. So, you know, find an advocacy that's in your state, close to your town. There's advocates for medical care everywhere, you know, and if you're blessed enough to have a family member that's advocating for you, please make sure that they are able to have all the information about your conditions, you know, so that way they can approach it and deal with it properly. And don't let anyone try and tell you that it's all in your head or nobody can do anything for you, because the ability's there. You know, no matter what, even with the reduction of the amount of opioids that can be prescribed per person, there still is the ability out there to find comparable pain relief while dealing with your conditions. And don't let somebody try and tell you that no. You know, a lot of doctors are really scared to deal with it now, because you know as well as I do, you've gone through it yourself. Doctors that actually care about their patients and want to help their patients are being targeted. You know, this so-called war on drugs isn't a war on drugs. It's a war on pain patients. You know, as you know, our numbers are diminishing and more of us are suffering. The total number of street drugs on the street has shot through the roof exponentially. You know, and then, you know, and I also want people to understand that do not give up. Do not feel like dying is your only choice. You know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of chronic pain patients now that have had to choose suicide because they can't find doctors that will take care of them properly. You know, in the last year and a half, 2 years, the total number of chronic pain patients that have died by suicide has gone up over 300%. And I just want people to know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good, Joe. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time. And for the listening audience, can you tell them how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, so anybody can get a hold of me. The best way is at lisasride@outlook.com. I think that's it. Or it's either Outlook or Yahoo. I think it's yahoo.com. But or you can find me on Facebook under Joe Love. You can also find Lisa's Ride Facebook page through Facebook also. And anyone who's struggling, having an issue, you know, unable to find help or anything like that, I encourage them, reach out to me. I've got people that I can connect you with that can help.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time, Joe. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day.